Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is your show where we talk about your life, we talk about your money, we talk about your decision making. Are you making good decisions? Are you making bad decisions? Are you making those not so brilliant decisions? Regardless, we are all in this together. We're all on a journey, and we're all trying to manage this life God's way and for His glory. Not just with money, but with parenting, with our relationships, with marriage, with how do we live life as a single person? What does that look like when it comes to stewardship? What does health look like? And what does our leadership look like? Our influence? All those kind of things. How do we do all that? What does the Bible say about that? So we're going to talk about that today. And you can call in at 866-357-3283. Again, that phone number is 866-357-3283. Or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That email is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Everything we're going to talk about today, it all lives at stewardship.com. Lots of stuff there for you to check out. So be sure to check that out. First on the line today from Wyoming, we got Mark. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well. How can I serve you?
Well, my question is, I've been through Total Money Makeover. I've read that about 3 times, and then also Entree Leadership about 3 times.
You're a pro.
And it's I guess it keeps me motivated while I work through this.
Mm-hmm.
But my question is, they seem to conflict, and I'm not sure which to do first. Am I supposed to pay off business debt first? Because in Entree Leadership, they outline how you're supposed to reduce your, when you're self-employed, reduce your income to as little as you can to take out of the business and then pay down business debt.
Mm-hmm.
And on Total Money Makeover, they outline how you need to get your income up as high as you can and pay down that debt as fast as possible. And it's not really advantageous to someone in my position to go out there and deliver pizzas because I'm better served and our company is better served if I put in the extra hours and extra time building what we've got going on. So,
what kind of debt are we talking about?
The debt is I've got a little bit of vehicle debt and mostly student loans as far as personal, and then business debt is about the same. We've got a small equipment loan and then a couple vehicle loans and stuff. So.
Yeah. So the question I'm hearing is, should I pay off personal loans first or personal debt first or business debt? Is that what I'm hearing?
Correct.
All right.
Correct.
It's actually it's both. It's neither one of your options. It's not personal first and it's not business first. It's both. You got to keep your business finances separate from your personal finances, and you want to work 2 separate snowballs. So you're going to handle them the same way. So your business income, you want to get that as high as possible. You want to keep your business expenses as low as possible. And you want to do a debt snowball on the business. So retained earnings, whatever you got to do to make sure that you put that towards your debt, business debt, and keep your personal completely separate and work a separate snowball for that. So there shouldn't be any kind of blurry lines. There shouldn't be any kind of, this is a bad tax term. I don't mean it this bad, but commingling of finances. So pay yourself a very honest salary, whatever you think that's the salary that you need to take. And then, you know, keep, that's the only time there should be any exchange between the two. One is business and one is personal. And, you know, if let's say they were to be together, I would lean towards, I'd work towards, you know, the personal first, because just going to the scriptures, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. And so when I think about household and I think about, you know, survival, you're going to want to make sure you take care of that first. But my guess is with, you know, some of this car loan stuff, you might be able to get rid of some of those cars. I'm not sure.
No, not really. You know, because it's a small business and stuff, even some of the trucks that we use for our business are taken out personally and then we lease them back to the company.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we're getting away from as we pay that down. But, we use them every day, day in, day out. They're not a huge, and neither one of this, we're not looking at anything past a year, but it's, you know, if I raise my income to pay down to pay down my debt faster, then that leaves less to pay down, either pay down debt or save for retained earnings.
Yeah, I wouldn't determine.
There is no commingling of funds.
Well, good, good.
It's completely separate.
Yeah, I see your wrestle there on the income thing. I would set your income not based on anything that has to do with debt. So I would make that decision separate from this. It's what salary should you make? And you just make that call. And then when you, after you make that call, then you work two different debt snowballs. But I would make that based on what is the fair, you know, do some kind of compensation research on your industry and figure out what you should be making and then go from there. But I just shouldn't have to do with okay. whether you have debt or not. It should be your salary. You should your pay for the value you add. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Mark. Next call comes from Charlotte. This is Chris.
Hi, this is Chris.
There you go. Good name and good city.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. How can I serve you?
Well, my husband and I just moved from baby step two to baby step three, and baby step two took a long time. It was a very winding road, and so we're looking at, you know, the 3 to 6 months of savings, and it feels like it's going to take forever, mm-hmm. and so we just need, I guess, some encouragement to keep going and keep plugging along because it seems daunting.
Well, congratulations on being debt-free. What kind of debt did you have?
Well, we still have a mortgage, but we were just paying off some car loans, some credit cards, lots of stuff. We did seminary, cash load seminary in that, added several children, had several bouts of unemployment. So step two took a long time, and yeah, it just seems like step three is going to take just as long.
Yeah. How long are we talking? How long did the debt payoff take?
It took about 8 years for us. It
oh,
wasn't
wow.
a huge amount of debt, but just life happened in the midst of all of that. Mm-hmm. And we've got one daughter in college now, and our next child is in eighth grade. And so, you know, we're looking at college for him, and it just... It's a little overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. What's your income?
About $80,000 a year, just maybe a little shy of that.
Okay. And how long are you thinking it's going to take you to get through baby step three?
Probably 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
We have 7 people in our family.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So let's dissect what overwhelmed means. If you're tired and you're overwhelmed, and that what does it mean? Like, break it down into... Why are you feeling these emotions? What is there an expectation gap? Do you feel like it should be done in 6 months, or is there certain things around you that you're seeing? What's making you feel so, I don't know, all this pressure to be through baby step three tomorrow?
Well, I think part of it is the college savings, looking ahead to that for a second child, and then of course the others that are coming along. Some of it is, you know, we lived very frugally for many years just because of life circumstances. And so, you know, now that we're debt-free, we're looking around at a house that needs repairs because we've kind of put that off to pay off debt. We're looking at having to save for a car now because we've milked some cars along, bought some beaters. You know, we'd like to enjoy life a little bit more now that that hurdle is over. And yet, at the same time, we're thinking, oh, goodness, we got to plug this. You know, we've got to get this emergency fund out of the way, too. So
yeah,
it just seems like there's a lot to do all at once.
Yeah, well, what I hear is you've got big goals. You've got goals that are stretch goals, goals that where God's going to have to show up. And in that scenario, so if your goal was, hey, we want to increase our lifestyle and increase our ability to give and all the different things that go with that of 3% or 5% or, you know, it's kind of a small goal, then you've got to do small things. But if you've got a big goal and you want to dramatically change your current reality, it's going to take some big steps. And so I guess you kind of got to look at what are some big things, some big possible breakthrough decisions for us to do on the income side. Is it possibly switching industries? Is it possibly asking for the promotion or asking for the raise or possibly transferring to another location? Because with that comes a promotion possibly. What are some breakthrough decisions we can do on our expenses? Obviously, we want a little bit more house. So where else can we cut in some major expenses? You've got to have some kind of breakthrough. It can't be the, okay, we're going to, I guess you guys are now debt free, so you can go out to eat a little bit. So we're not going to go out to eat. We're going to go out to eat one less time a month. It's not small decisions like that that are going to get you through this faster. It's going to be a breakthrough decision. Have you ever thought through some of those breakthrough decisions that might be a possibility?
Cutting the cable would probably be one of the biggest breakthrough decisions that we could do. Mm-hmm.
It's got to be bigger than that, Chris. Because that's, you're still looking at cutting the cable. You're looking at $600 a year. Is that something like that? So that's not a game changer. You need a game changer type decision. So that would be the one thing. I would sit down, have a financial date night, just dream a little bit. This is what we want. This is the goal. 8 years from now, 5 years from now, it looks like you're saying that you want something 2 years from now or less than 3 and 4, obviously. It's going to be some kind of breakthrough. And I think at the same time, and this isn't just for Chris, this is for all of us, we've got to focus in on what we have and not what we don't have, because our mind can go there. It definitely can. One practical step that's worked for me, and I know that me and Rachel Cruz talk about this often, is start every morning instead of, and I don't know if you do this, this is for everybody, but start every morning instead of looking at Instagram or Facebook or Twitter and seeing what everyone else has, which is a big time temptation for a lot of people. Instead, before you do that at 7 in the morning, as soon as you roll over, go to the notepad and write down 3 or 4 things that you're thankful for. Imagine what that would do in your day. And the Bible talks a lot about contentment. And it will help us in that area, so we're not feeling so overwhelmed and tired and, man, this is going to be such a long journey. It'll take a little bit of the sting out. And I think that's what you're asking for, a little bit of encouragement when it comes to that. I know Galatians 6:9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good." Check this out. "For in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So there is a perseverance, there is an endurance principle that's hidden in all this. If he gave us everything exactly when we wanted it, we wouldn't need him. We wouldn't have to wrestle. We wouldn't have to seek him. We wouldn't even need a God, because we would just have everything immediately. So we really have to know that there's always going to be expectation gaps in what we want and the timing. Of course, we know that God's an on-time God. He's there, but it's in his timing, not ours. And so I know that's a little frustrating, but on the practical level, it comes down to those breakthrough decisions. And on the faith level, you just got to know there's a reason why he's having you guys. Well, you guys got a good income. The thing is, there is some effects that come with having 7 people in your home. It's just part of it.
Right.
And that's a blessing that he's given you that other people don't have. And so it's just a different blessing. It just looks different.
Well, thank you for those reminders.
Thank you so much. Well, folks, remember, you can call in at 866-357-3283, or you can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Well, as parents, it can be very tough to talk to your kids about money. Maybe you felt like this in the past. Maybe you felt worried because your teenager will be leaving for college soon. Maybe you've felt unprepared because, well, you're not a money expert. Maybe you don't know where to start. Right now, you can get the entire Smart Money Smart Kids class, including a workbook, copy of the Smart Money Smart Kids book, and all your online videos and resources, all for $59 at stewardship.com. Now, even if your kids are teenagers, it's never too late to teach your kids about hard work and about avoiding debt. It only takes 30 minutes a week. Head over to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, and you'll find all the information you need to get Smart Money, Smart Kids for only $59.
Thank you for being with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
Now, we got an email here that came in from Tyler. Tyler says, "Almost every day there are people outside my apartment that ask me for money. It is usually different people, but I know that they likely don't have jobs. Is continuing to give these people money being a poor steward of my money? I have a hard time telling people no, but I know that I am not helping their real problem." Well, the minute that you know that you're not helping their real problem is the minute that you're not being a good steward. The thing is it's not necessarily bad to be given the money. Where it goes wrong is where you give them the fish, but you don't teach them how to fish at the same time. So if you give them $3 or $4 or you give them $10, when you do that, what that's doing is allowing, it's a tool. And so it's allowing you a tool to speak in their life. It's buying you leverage in their life. It's allowing you to have, quote unquote, change in your pocket so that you can, you've made a deposit and now you can ask for something in return. And when you ask for something in return, you want them to engage into some kind of behavior that's going to change their life. So you want them to maybe show up more often for maybe prayer, or you want them to show up for a little class, or you want to pray for them, or you want to tell them a little bit, hey, listen, I just need your attention for 10 or 20 minutes. I want to tell you about my faith. At that point, you're then being a good steward. But if you're just giving them money based on what you've told me, and they're just taking your money and running, and there's no non-accusatory accountability tied to it, then yes, you might be being a bad steward. So good question and something that we all wrestle with. Next call comes in from Atlanta. This is Allison. Allison, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Good. Yeah, so my husband and I, our house is paid off. We don't have any debt, but we think we need to get a new home. Our family's expanding, and so we kind of want to know what do we need to be thinking about as far as, you know, how much can we afford? You know, we're going to put the down payments from selling our home, current home. But anyway, what should we be thinking about as we move forward with that?
I would try to define your goal a little bit more. So you've got some, and I know you're probably being more vague with me, but you want to define what expanding your family looks like. So how much are you expanding your family? Is it going to be 6 kids or is it going to be in-laws or is it, what does expanding mean? You're having one kid, you're having five more?
We have one right now, and then we're hoping to have another one soon.
Okay. So, and are you guys going to be done at that point?
It depends who you ask.
So we're just going to plan for 4 to 5, 4 to 5 people in the family.
Let's say 3 to, okay, yeah, 4 to 5 in the family.
I just made your blood pressure go up, didn't I?
Right, yes.
That's funny. And then I think the other thing you got to define is, you know, how big of a home? What kind of square footage do you need? What square footage do you have now?
I don't know.
Okay, how many bedrooms?
We have 3, and we rent out the basement, so it's been an income property for us, which has been nice.
Yeah.
So,
and
right now we have 3.
And where are you guys at with debt and savings?
We don't have any debt. And we'd be able to put down, you know, after we sold our home, we still have some cash we'd be able to put down as well.
Okay. Here's the things that I would consider.
Okay.
Unless you just want to get out of that neighborhood or you want to get out of that specific house, I don't see, or there's a lot of appreciation or equity in it, I don't see a need for you to have to move with 3 bedrooms with 2 kids, unless you just have very little living space. It could be one of those, it might be cheaper for you to just open up the basement and you guys use the basement also. Cheaper to do that. I don't know. You have to do the analytics on that versus getting another home and all the moving expenses. That could free up a little bit of space for you. But if it's bigger than that, and it's not, I mean, if it's the concept is bigger than just the space, you just want a fresh start, then you guys got to determine that. So that'd be the third thing I would say is why. That'd be the third thing that you guys want to make sure that you firm up. So how big of a house, the why, how much are we spending, and how much is this family going to expand so we can plan for the future. We don't have to move twice. You decide to buy and try to sell, if you decide to sell and buy, here's what you're looking for. I think you asked me this, 20% down is what you're wanting to put down, because you want to avoid mortgage insurance. That's just throwing money away. If you're a responsible person, you don't need to be having mortgage insurance. So you want to, there are some things out there where you only have to put 10% down, but we just don't like that. 20% down is the smallest amount that we feel comfortable doing. You also want to have a 15-year mortgage, not a 30-year mortgage. Okay. Because the goal is that you'd be debt-free as soon as possible. So you want to make sure you set yourself up well there. And then you want to make sure that you buy a good deal. You know, most of the money that you make off of real estate, you're going to make on the buy, not on the sell. So you want to make sure that you buy well. And then your house payment needs to be under 25% of your household income, your budget. So if you've got a house payment, if you're bringing home $3,000 a month and your house payment's $1,000 a month, that's too much. That's 33%. So you want to make sure it's below 25%. Okay?
Okay. All right.
All right. When you go to,
I appreciate your help.
Yeah. If you decide to sell, or, you know, and when you guys go to do that, you want to make sure you at least check out our ELPs, our endorsed local providers. We've got real estate brokers that we've already filtered, and they're all amazing. And we've got plenty in Atlanta.
Perfect.
So just head over to stewardship.com and have a conversation with them. And I have full confidence that you're going to love them.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thank you, Allison.
All right. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Again, you can email in or you can call in 866-357-3283. You can email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. This email comes in from Maria. She says, you speak much about stewarding appropriately in one's marriage. As a single, could you speak on encouraging stewardship in one's singleness? Well, thank you so much for pointing that out, that we haven't really addressed that very much in these first 100 or so episodes. And thanks for bringing that up. I think I'm going to hit that more often, because there is some things that definitely need to be addressed as a single, because we've got to make sure that we steward that season. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And during that season, we've got to make sure we steward that season. There's a reason why you're single. There's got to be some kind of reason. And if you've got a strong faith, you know that. And during that season, what do you have more than everyone else? Well, you've got attention. You can give your attention to ministry. You can give your attention to serving. You have time. You have more time than those who are married. And so that's a season where you can, the best way you can steward, and another way you can steward being a single, is making sure that when you go to get married, you're in a good financial position. I counsel people all the time where they're marrying into a ton of debt. They've done a good job staying out of debt, but they're marrying into a financial mess. You don't want to do that for your future spouse. And so we want to make sure that we leverage this season to put ourselves in a good financial position. And with our time and our energy and our relationships, that we are, especially the time, that we're serving more than anybody. We're at the church going nuts and just serving like crazy. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. And so when we're single, if we seek God and his righteousness, then these other things will be added to you. So during that single season, you want to make sure you're doing that. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but I've seen it illustrated before in a triangle. So at the bottom of the triangle, you've got these two points on the bottom, and that's you and your future spouse. And if you both go vertically north towards God, you're seeking him and his righteousness, that you both, if you're seeking him, you're going to meet at the top. So keep your eyes on the cross. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The times where, really, really godly couples meet each other is they meet each other on accident. They're both going hard after God, and they meet each other in the process. So that would be my advice to you. Very good question. And actually, I owe you an apology for being negligent when it comes to speaking specifically to those of you out there that are single of all ages. We're going to make sure that we address that more in the future. So thank you so much. Well, folks, that wraps up today's show. A couple things I want to talk to you about before we go. Make sure, again, you're going to stewardship.com. There's some amazing articles that have just been posted up there this week. If you haven't been there in a while, there's just really some amazing free resources there for you. So make sure you check that out, and make sure you check out that that deal on Smart Money, Smart Kids, $59 for all that. That's all at stewardship.com. You don't need to know anything right now. Just go to stewardship.com and you'll get all the details. You don't have to write everything down. We make it really, really simple for you. And you've heard me say this before, the newsletter. The newsletter is amazing. Of course, it doesn't go out every day. We're not going to hound you. We really just want, every time we have something to either give away or we have some kind of unique value add, we make sure to reach out to you. So make sure if you need some kind of daily pick-me-up besides the show, besides this podcast, sign up for the stewardship.com newsletter. And you'll receive all sorts of encouraging tips for your stewardship journey and how to manage God's blessings God's way for God's glory. God bless you.